My teaching's a very simple teaching today, and but I think it's a vitally important teaching today, and that is on faithfulness and prayer. And please turn to Psalm 37. I want to go back to a verse that I shared actually at the Royal Family Reunion on my Friday night teaching. When I was teaching on the abundant life, and Psalm 37, verse 3 is the verse that I'm thinking of. It says, trust in the Lord, trust in Yahweh, is the name of God there. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. This is an action that we as disciples of Christ, as we as saints of God, are to do. We are to cultivate faithfulness in our life. And I think perhaps one of the, I can say with a surety, the most important keys, I believe, to being faithful to God and to Jesus Christ as our Lord is to read the Bible and to pray every day. It seems like such a simple statement as I say that. And yet, it is absolutely essential to cultivate this faithfully every day, to make it, you know, to closer walk with thee daily. That's how you daily walk with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. As a young Christian, I went on a program for a year where I volunteered to commit myself to many things that I was supposed to do. But one of the commitments that I made that year, and this was right out of high school, I was 18, was that every day, for the first half hour of every day, I would read my Bible and I would pray. And I think, as I look back on that now, that was the greatest decision of my life. I don't think there's been anything that helped me to where I, to get to this day than to commit myself every day to read my Bible and pray. I don't know if there's anything that helped me in my Christian walk from that point till now than to have a faithful daily prayer life and a faithful daily reading of the Bible. It's just absolutely vital. And yet, it doesn't get any easier. It's not like, you know, after you do that for the year, then all of a sudden, boom, you're not challenged. I mean, I think many of you are like me. You want to get up in the morning and pray. You want to get up in the morning and read your Bible, but suddenly you sleep through your alarm, right? And you wake up and, oh! And you know, you look at the clock and you look at where you have to, you know, you have to eat, you have to get to your ride, you have to get to work, and, you know, you miss a day. And then next thing you know, you miss 2 days. And then next thing you know, a week goes by. And it just subtly gets sucked and drained away from us. And it takes a deliberate perseverance and decision to pray. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just, oh, I'm now a Christian and all of a sudden I am this prayer warrior. It takes a decision by an individual to do this, to pray every day, to read your Bible every day. It seems so simple. And yet, it is so easily taken away from us through the world and the distractions that we come across. Look at Luke chapter 18. Again, this is a very simple teaching. I want to go through some of these things to see what our Lord Jesus said about these things. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, this is one of the few, this is a great introduction. Here's one of the places in the Bible where before the parable is even given, we're told the point. Here's the point. Here's the takeaway from what we're about ready to learn. The point is that at all times we ought to pray and not lose heart. And this is our Lord Jesus speaking, and this is what he said. Now, here's the parable, verse 2. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will weary me. What a great... Now, have you ever seen this? Like maybe in a line at the DMV or at a line at a customer service desk where a widow woman is in front of you? Or she comes there and she's been wronged and she is going to get right. And, you know, the clerk at the customer service desk says, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, you didn't. I'm sorry, ma'am. And then the line behind starts lining up. And she's like, she starts getting louder. And, you know, everybody's, and then the line keeps backing up behind her. And pretty soon the manager comes over. What are you doing? She says, this lady, she won't shut up. She won't. And he's just like, give her whatever she wants. You know, that's kind of what we have here, what Jesus is talking about, of this widow woman who was wronged, and she goes before the judge, and he says, okay. So, what's the point of this? Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? In other words, the point of the parable is not that God, it's not that God is not willing to give and not listening. The point of the whole parable is the widow woman's persistence. That's the point of the parable. That men ought to pray and not cease. Just like a widow woman who is wronged and is going to get made right. And she goes there and she just continues and she continues and she continues and she continues. That's the point of the parable. The point is we are to pray, and 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 we are not to stop. We are just to continue to pray every day. Pray. That's the point of the parable. And then it says, verse 8, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. And then it has this statement. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's a very sobering thought. Jesus Christ is coming back. And, you know, the way the world is now, I think he's coming back soon. You know, I'm not a prophet, but man, what's he going to find? Is he going to find a world where people are too busy for him? Is he going to find a place where people are so engrossed in their own self things that they're doing that they don't have time to pray? That they don't have time to give the time to him every day? That's the context. What's he going to find when he comes back? What's he going to find in your life when he comes? Is he going to find faith? And the context of that faith is being continue in prayer. Ought to pray and not faint. What's he going to find? What are you going to, you know, how do you want to be when your Lord comes back? It's a very sobering thought that very much has confronted me in my life many times every time I read it. When I get slack and I fall short and I know I need to get back on the train. and get back into the prayer mode. It's a very sobering thought. Jesus taught another very similar parable in Luke 11. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 1. It says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" So here, they actually come to him here and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, we're going to read this in a minute, but it's very similar to what Jesus said at another time on the Sermon on the Mount. These are two different times. These aren't the exact same record. But he basically, in essence, in both these records, tells us how we are to pray. That's a good thing to know, right? You know, not just that I should pray, but how? How am I supposed to do this? What should I pray about? So if you keep a ribbon here, we're going to come back to here, but go to Matthew 6. I want to read just a little bit about this in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "When you pray," 6, verse 5, "when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He says to go in your inner room. I haven't seen this movie. I heard it's really good. The War Room. Is that about a prayer where they go into a prayer room? That's something I've heard. I highly recommend. I haven't seen it, but I've heard great things about it. But, you know, I think there's a good lesson here for us that you ever, like, your desk is a mess. Anybody have a messy desk? Or you know, clutter. And it's not always conducive to pray when you get up in the morning and you got clutter all around. I've found for me the best thing to do is have a place where I'm going to sit that's clean. Got a nice little end table where I can put my cup of coffee or my tea. So when I get up in the morning, I got my prayer place. You know, I've prepared it. That's just a really good practice to have a place in your home. You know, you can go away, but you should have a place in your home that's your sanctuary that you can go and pray. It really is very, very helpful to have your prayer closet, to have a location that you can just say, "This is my prayer place. It's my sanctuary." And then you protect that place like a sanctuary. Keep it clean. Before you go to bed, make sure your sanctuary is ready for the next morning. These are just simple things, but I'm telling you, it really helps to determine and to make a determination, "I'm praying tomorrow when I get up." And that's just another practical thing that you can do to help you instill this attitude and this faithfulness in prayer in your daily life. So he said to go in your prayer closet, prayer room. Verse 7, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." So our prayer is not to be a vain repetition. You know, that idea where if you pray it enough, pray the same prayer, and it's just words coming out, but there's no heart, there's no thought, there's no understanding of what you're saying. You're just saying the same thing over and over again. That's not the point. He then says, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need before you ask him." And then he says to pray a prayer, and what's funny is people have used this prayer as a vain repetition. They just say it over and over again. That's not the point, I don't believe. He says, "When you pray, pray then, say in this way, 'Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go back to Luke. He told them that on the Sermon on the Mount. And then here in Luke, when they ask him again, teach us how to pray, he says in Luke 11, verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Again, I don't think this is to be a vain repetition. I think this gives you a structure of understanding of items that are good to have in your prayer life. The first thing is acknowledge God. Hallowed be God. Hallowed be His name. Take the time when you begin to pray to praise God, to give Him the honor and the glory that He deserves as your Heavenly Father. Praise Him. You pray for His kingdom to come. We pray for His will. That's part of reaching the gospel. It's part of this, the world we live in, that this world can change and to be like His kingdom that's coming. All those things are wrapped into that, with Thy kingdom come. Thinking about that day coming when the Messiah will reign on the earth and His kingdom will be alive. We pray for that. And I think, when we pray for governments and we pray for the outreach of the gospel, I think that's all part of this understanding of praying for your kingdom to come. That we would have the intestinal fortitude to go out and preach to people about the coming kingdom. I think that's all part of that. And then he says, give us our daily bread. Now you start praying for your specific needs. So often the habit is we pray for our needs. I need this and I need that and I need that. And we start giving God our list of needs. Well, stop. First praise Him. Praise Him and pray for His will to be done. That's a good structure. It's a good way to think about, you're saying, well, what do I pray about? Well, here it is. These are things we pray about. And then he says, forgive us our sins. That's another thing to pray daily because we need it, right? How many sins? You don't need to raise your hand. Who here sinned, right? That's you daily have to pray. That's why we pray daily because we're not perfect people. We're imperfect people. I got to pray because I didn't pray. You know what I mean? Forgive me, God, that I didn't take time for you today. We got to pray for forgiveness. We need to pray for. And then the last thing, lead us not into temptation. It's an evil world. It's an evil world. Evil surrounds us all the time. The devil, there is a devil. He's real. It's a spiritual battle. And his spiritual forces are out in full every day. How do we, human beings of the flesh, possibly stand a chance against the forces of the evil one? Prayer! We got to pray. We need His help. We need to ask Him to help us. Deliver us from evil. Keep temptation away from us. These are what should be in a daily prayer. That's the essence. Again, it's not to be rote. It's not to be, you just say the prayer. But you say it, you understand what you're being told to pray for. These are the things we should pray for in our lives. And then in verse 5, he gives another parable. This was another good one. Then he says, suppose one of you has a friend. And one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come for me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and get you anything. I can relate to this. Well, I hope my neighbor would never do this, but we have good friends across the street. Every once in a while, Mary O'Brien's out of sugar. She'll come over and borrow sugar from us. But that's at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? I'm in bed at midnight. Okay? If she came knocking on our door at midnight and said, hey, hello, ring the door, ding, ding, ding. What? I'm like, what, the police here? What's going on? And she says, I got a friend that's out of town. They're over here right now. I got no food. You got something you can give me? No! I'm trying to sleep here, right? That's what a great parable. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, they come to you and they say, You know, you got a friend, and they come, and you're going to give. He's like, no, you wouldn't give him food. But then he goes on and says, but I tell you, verse 8, even though he will not get up and get him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his what? His persistence, he will need to get up and give him as much as he needs. Same thing, very similar to the widow woman. Because he's persistent. Because he's knocking at the door. Ringing the doorbell. Ringing the doorbell. All right, here you go. I'll give it to you. Again, the same idea of persistence, of faithfulness. And then in verse 9 he says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a great thing. You know, if my child asks me for a fish, I don't give him a stone. You know, if he asks me an egg, I don't give him a scorpion. If we ask God for those things that are according to his will, he'll hear us. He'll give it to us. But you know, the reality is, a lot of times, we get so busy, we don't ask. We don't ask for his help. We just go live our life. We're, you know, I'm too busy. I got things to do. And we don't take the time to ask, to seek, to knock. I am reading this. I was reminded again, and I actually asked Mimi, because I thought she would have had this album of verse with her. During that year that I committed myself, I found this little poem very early on, and I actually at one time had this little poem, and it's in the programs. I have it on it was on a little handout. And I used to have this on a little 5x7 framed, and I would put it next to my prayer place. And I have since lost it. I don't know where it is. And, you know, going through this morning, I decided this afternoon, this is going to be put back in a little frame, or I'll make a new one and have with me, because this really spoke to me at that age in my life. And it's take time to pray. And it says, I got up early in the morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish. I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled around me. Heavier came each task. I whined, why doesn't God help me? He said, you didn't ask. I groaned and shouted and grumbled. I tried every key in the lock. I cried, why doesn't he open? He said, son, you didn't knock. So I got up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. That is such a true poem that we so get robbed of, to take the time to pray, to ask, to seek, to knock, and allow God to answer. But so often we're so busy, we don't even let him in. We don't even seek. It's just such a vital part of the Christian walk. You cannot do this thing without it. You just can't. You have to take time in your life to pray. Look at 1 Thessalonians. It's a simple verse. I probably don't need you to turn there, but you might as well know where it is in your Bible. And then you can... This is another one you see collage that people put on refrigerators because it's short, it's simple, and it's to the point. 1 Thessalonians
chapter 5. Then this is the Pauline epistle. So once Jesus resurrected and went to the right hand of God, the idea of prayer didn't stop with Christianity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, here it is, pray without ceasing. Sounds very similar to what we read in Luke 18, that men ought to pray and not cease. Pray without ceasing. That means pray daily. It means pray all the time. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12, another writing here of the Apostle Paul. Romans 12, verse 11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, servant in spirit, serving the Lord, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. I believe the King James Version says, continuing instant in prayer. I always like that, although I don't know if it's the correct understanding of it, but I like that instant prayer. Like, you know, we have instant coffee and instant hot cocoa, and we're into this world, we're into instant everything, right? Well, instant prayer. I like that. Anyways, that's not the meaning. But I like that when I think of that, the way it's written in the King James Version. I think the word devoted here is a really good translation. It is the Greek word proskaterio. And some of the lexicon definitions for this word are to adhere to, be devoted to, constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place, to persevere and not to faint, to show oneself courageous for, to be in constant readiness for one, to wait on constantly. I think that's devoted. We are to be devoted to prayer. You know someone who is devoted to prayer? Probably the one that we would think probably needed it the least, and that was Jesus. Jesus was so devoted to prayer. I mean, there's one time where it says he was up in the night in Simon Peter's mother's house casting out demons. The whole city came around, and they finally, after dark, they put him away. The next morning, he wasn't around. His disciples found him. He had gotten up, it says in Mark, gotten up, rising up a great while before day. He went out into a solitary place, and he prayed. He was praying. Jesus was out praying. After being up all night, he was devoted to this. Remember the whole feeding of the 5,000, right, and all that? And he gets everybody, and he sends away everybody in a boat. You know, he feeds 5,000 people, sends his disciples away in a boat, and you know what he does? He goes up into the mountain, and he prays. Why? Because Jesus understood. He practiced what he preached. There's a time in the Bible where it says that there was no time for leisure. They didn't even have enough time to eat. They were so busy with the things they were doing. Yet Jesus determined to get away, to get in a solitary place, to be alone with his Father, to get into his prayer closet and pray. Now, I'm not Jesus. But if he, the Son of God, the only perfect man, determined that he needed to take this type of determination to make room for him to get alone and pray, you think maybe we need to do this? And I'm telling you, if you don't make a determination and you get just solidified in your heart that you are going to pray, it's going to be taken away from you. The adversary in him, that he will rip it out of your life. And it doesn't matter if you've been praying every day till now. If you stop tomorrow, subtly you're going to be off and prayer is going to get ripped out of your life. It's a determination you need to make every day that you're going to do this and to pray. So I've given you something. We have a lot of things coming up here in the month. One thing we're going to start next Sunday here at the church is we're going to start 40 days of prayer. We could do anything. I mean, we used to do the hour of prayer thing, and we'll get more details about how we want to do this, but prayer is necessary. This Tuesday night, we're going to start our supernatural healing class, our biblical education class on supernatural healing. And I'm sure Reverend Finnegan can speak for himself, but I don't think Vince is really just interested in giving you guys more head knowledge, more stuff for you to, you know, write notes to or have another class that we can put on the internet. We want it to be practical. We want you to experience God working in your life, that He's alive, that the Spirit of God is alive within you. And I can tell you right now, if you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, it doesn't really make a difference whether you come to the class on Tuesday night. If you are not practicing these very basic principles, you're not going to have a spiritual life. This is just fundamental Christianity 101. That you pray every day and you read your Bible every day. Prayer is our access point to God, the Creator. It is the avenue by where we invoke Him into our life to be part of our life. It's powerful. And in light of this class that we're going to be doing on supernatural healing, we want to also institute a program where we can pray, where it encourages us to pray every day. And so next Sunday we're going to start. There's other things happening. You know, have you seen the world in pretty bad shape? I mean, I don't know what political party is right. I don't know what's happening with the stock market. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are really up in the air about where things are going to be in a couple years from now. I really don't know. But I know we need help. I know our country needs help. I know our world needs help. And God needs prayer warriors. He needs men and women committed to Him, committed to doing this thing, committing to being a Christian in this evil world, and you in your prayer closet being a warrior for Him. So this Tuesday night, it just so happens that we're going to be starting our BEC class, our Biblical Education class on Supernatural Healing, and Tuesday night just happens to be on the Hebrew calendar, the 10th of the 7th month, or the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. I think that's pretty cool. It's going to start Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only day in all the Hebrew feasts where they actually spent a time of fasting during the Day of Atonement. And so that's what Tuesday night is. Actually, it coincides with Yom Kippur this year on the Hebrew calendar. Another significant thing, next Sunday we're going to start this 40 days of prayer. During this class, we want to have this time of prayer. And next Sunday, if you stay up at night, we're having a lunar eclipse. And if any of you have been following, this is the fourth lunar eclipse of a blood moon, of a tetrad of lunar eclipses that has occurred. You had Feast of Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, then the next year Feast of Passover and Feast of Tabernacles, four lunar eclipses in a row. It won't occur for another 20 years. And there's all these things about biblical prophecy. And I don't know all that, but I know next Sunday we're going to start 40 hours of prayer. And that night, if the moon's out up here in the east, you get to see a total lunar eclipse. I think it starts around 8 by 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. at dark. It'll be a full blood moon lunar eclipse, so the fourth of this tetrad. And we're going to start that day, our 40 days of prayer. So I just think it's pretty cool. I just realized that Vince and Tom and I were talking beforehand. Like, wow, this is cool. So this is great. Let's get in, maybe that is the end of the world. Praise God, let Him come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But will He find faith on the earth? What good is it if He comes if we're not engaged and doing what we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis? So I've given you many things that happened in the Scriptures. 40 is a very significant thing. There were 40 days of rain during the flood. Moses was in the Mount 40 days. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. The first three kings of Israel all reigned for 40 years. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Jesus walked on the earth in his resurrected body for 40 days. The number 40 has a definite significance to it. It's a time of testing, refreshing, and then after the 40 days, it's a time of renewal, or 40 years. And so it's a great, significant number, and so we want to use it starting next week. But to get things warmed up, one of the things I want to do is just take time to pray right now. I wanted to finish a little early, so we had a few minutes. And on the backside of this are three things to pray for. And I think these are significant things. I think these are things that we should pray for daily in our life. And so this week, we're not going to start the 40 days until next week. And Vince will tell you more about it. We may start doing a little prayer time before our fellowships on Sundays, which we'll let you know about. But to get us started, just try and pray for these three things this week. All right? Let's just start. Let's do something, right? Let's start praying. And the goal is, take 5 minutes. Right now, what I would like to do is for each of these things, and we'll just as quietly by yourself, we're not going to pray out loud. I want to give you a gift. I want to give you time to pray because, it's so often gets ripped away from us. So the first one here is to give God praise, honor, and glory. Like Jesus said, hallowed be your name. And I put the verse, 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and earth, yours is dominion, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. So I'd like to take time right now and just praise God. Praise Him in your own way, quietly, for like 3 minutes.